Hello, everybody, and welcome to another beautiful Thursday morning. You're listening to Bhavani at IE Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And I have a great show planned for all of you today. Amy Valpone will be joining me. She is the founder of The Healthy Apple, and her book, Eating Clean, The 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body, is going to be joining us. So I'm really excited to have her on. She'll be on in just a little bit. But first, I want to share with you my recipe of the week and some things going on around the news and ways that you can all take some action. That's what it's all about. With this new administration, every week I'm talking to you about taking action because we all need to really get out there and make an impact and do what we can to push the agenda that we think is important forward. And what that is based on love of everybody. Everybody has the right to respect and food security and healthy eating and non-toxic world. And we all have that right, and yet we have an administration that is not about that. So we all need to really get out there and make our agenda known. The other night, Wednesday night, I went to a great event at the Farmhouse Project, which is Grow New York City's new cool location in Manhattan for everything that has to do with food. So it's a great event space, and they sponsored the Food Law Initiative, which is a collaboration of Pace University's Law School and the Natural Resource Defense Council, along with Grow New York City. And they brought in Jennifer Grossman, who is a human rights expert. I'm sorry, she's an attorney for the Natural Resource Defense Council and also a farmer. And she interviewed Smita Narula, who is a human rights expert and advocate. And it was just a wonderful discussion about food justice and the right to food and who has the right to food. And basically everybody has the right to food, but that's not what is happening here in not just our country, but around the world. And we talked about land grabbing and people growing food that, you know, that they've turned into commodities as opposed to food that people are eating, and the need for us all to really get out there and be involved. We all need to stand up to the powers at be that are trying to overtake our food supply, our seed supply, our water supply, and we need to put a healthy agenda forward. And it's not all about the bottom line money. It's about health and goodwill. And we really need to really show up. So please go onto my website and take a look at some of the ways that you can take action. Last week I had Brett Tolley on talking about the industrialization of fish farms, and it was in the news this week as well, you know, floating fish farms that are, you know, taking over our oceans and the negative side of these, and growing fish farms, which is, you know, when you hear farm-raised fish, that's what we're talking about. Same with aquaponics. I mean, there are small aquaponic operations that are doing things in a sustainable way. A small farm, same way a small farmer who's raising cattle in a sustainable way. But the difference when you have these large corporations running these industrialized size operations, whether it's CAFOs, confined animal feeding lots, or these huge fish farms that are miles and miles big, what happens is it disrupts the whole natural ecosystem that should be there and should be in place. And when these fish get out into the wild, they decimate the wild fish, and they mate with the wild fish, and they can't reproduce, and they, you know, they have artificial color in them, artificial, they're fed pellets that, you know, food that's not meant for them, that are made from chicken parts and hormones and antibiotics to keep them from getting sick. And it's the same problems that we've heard about with the CAFOs. And so we really need to sign petitions and also educate ourselves so that we know where our fish are coming from. We've heard about fish fraud for years, and it's really a problem that we all need to take seriously. So when you go to the fish market, you can actually ask for the QR label, which is a quality, it's like a quality control, basically. But it's a code that will tell you where the fish came from, what boat it was on, when it was harvested, et cetera. And that's really a way for you to know the name of the fish and what fish you're really buying, because, you know, they can get some unknown fish and call it cod or snapper, and, you know, so many people don't know, including the fish store. Sometimes the fraud happens on the buying end for them, and they don't even know. They're not trying to mislead you, but they were misled. So you really need to do your homework and find out about that. Lots of great things are going on around the city. Right now, there's a wonderful conference being held. It's a 10-day free conference out at the Hilton Hotel in Melville. It's called the Real Truth About Health Conference, and it's being sponsored by the Hippocrates Institute, which is in Florida, and they promote a raw vegan diet for health. So the slant at the conference is certainly that, but it's also talking about a lot of the environmental issues that I talk about a lot that are really important. And there's some real great speakers still coming up. I mean, the conference started February 2nd, but it goes until this weekend, till the 11th. And Dr. Eisenstein and Colin Campbell will be there, I believe, tomorrow. And, you know, they are the big hitters from the movie Forks Over Knives. Colin Campbell is the author of the China Study. Dr. Eisenstein is from, is a cardiologist who's really been saving people's lives, not just by doing their open heart surgery, but then changing their diet and actually reversing the heart disease. So some really great things are being discussed there. So if you're available, it's a free conference. It's also being live streamed, so you can just register online, and you can find out more about that on my website. Stone Barns is, NYU is hosting Stone Barns to talk about food, and that's going to be taking place in Brooklyn at the NYU Makerspace on Thursday, February 8th. And that should be a really good discussion, talking about individual eating patterns, community, and the planet, all having to do with food and where your food comes from. And Stone Barns, for those that don't know, is a great educational agricultural center up in Tarrytown, Westchester, and they're just doing great work. February 10th is Nature Journaling Program, sponsored by the North Shore Land Alliance out in Cold Spring Harbor. That's always fun to do. Go out in winter and take a nice nature walk and then have some time to talk about it and write about it. There's a Change Food Meetup. Diane Hatz runs Change Food. She was the founder of TEDx Manhattan for many years, and now Change Food is her new thing, and she's bringing people together to talk about food and what we can do going forward. And that is Monday, February 12th at Le Botaniste on Grand Street in New York, and that costs $40. Food Policy for Breakfast at Hunter College. Those are always wonderful events. They're free. They serve breakfast with it. And the one coming up is going to be about food labeling. So that should be really great. The Organic Seed Alliance Conference is coming up in Oregon, February 14th through the 17th. Food and Water Watch is having a screening of the fossil fuel documentary called To the Ends of the Earth. That's on Thursday, February 15th at the Church in the Gardens in Forest Hills. Another event at Project Farmhouse is called Fresh in February, and it's going to be like a farmer's market, an indoor farmer's market of fresh vegetables that are being grown indoors in greenhouses. And you can meet some local farmers, and that is February 20th, Tuesday, from 7 to 9:30. And also the CUNY Food Policy Forum is taking place on February 21st, and that's at the CUNY Graduate School on 125th Street. There's so many events coming up. Sometimes we go through a lull and there's not a lot, but right now there's so many and I don't want to take the time to go over too many of them. But you can find them on my website at iegreen.com. There's a whole list of great foodie events that I'm sure many of you would be interested in. My recipe this week is, a lunch sandwich. It's an open-faced Cajun tofu sandwich with sauerkraut. It's kind of my take on a Reuben. Really great, comes together very fast, and just if you're craving that lunch-type sandwich, it's really great. I buy wonderful sourdough whole wheat bread from Bread Alone, which is upstate New York, and they deliver fresh daily to Whole Foods, and I just love that bread. So that's the bread, and it's also, the slices are fairly large, so I really just eat one slice of bread, but this recipe is for two slices of bread, so you can make one for someone else, or if you're really hungry, eat both of them. So I used one 14-ounce block of extra firm tofu cut into thin slices, but I didn't use the whole block. I cut only about 10 slices, and I guess I really only used 8 of them. So you can just cut 8 slices of the extra firm tofu, and you're cutting it fairly thin, thinner than a quarter inch, so that they will crispen up. Use a half a cup of nutritional yeast, a half a teaspoon of Old Bay spice, a half a teaspoon of Cajun spice mix, a quarter teaspoon of smoked paprika, and a quarter teaspoon of powdered garlic. And then I also added a little cayenne pepper because I like it spicy, but that's up to all of you. And you make a mixture with the nutritional yeast in I put it into a glass pie pan and just made that mixture so that I could bread the tofu in that mixture. If you don't have those spices, just play around with spices that you do have. I was going for the Cajun flavor, but if you prefer an Indian flavor or some other flavor, you can do that. But use the nutritional yeast as the base. And I use spray oil so that I don't use too much oil in this. And I also use some tamari that I just splash on. I used about two-thirds of a cup of organic sauerkraut, and again, I had jalapeno sauerkraut that was from Hawthorne Valley Farm, which is a biodynamic farm upstate, really wonderful, but you can get whatever organic sauerkraut you like. A half a cup of sautéed greens. I had a mixture of power greens that I just sautéed up. It was a mixture of spinach, Swiss chard, kale, and just mix that up so that they're wilted and then drain that, and that's going to go on the sandwich as well. Half an avocado sliced, some organic Dijon mustard, and that's it. And so I made that mixture with the nutritional yeast in a glass pie pan. I dipped the thin slices of tofu. Now, when the tofu, is packaged in water, so just tap some paper towel on it to take off the excess water. You don't have to press it or anything, but you just want to take off any excess water. And then press it down into the pie pan, into the nutritional yeast mixture, and coat it with the nutritional yeast mixture well on both sides. And then I covered a cookie sheet with some parchment paper, and I sprayed that with some organic olive oil. And I laid each of the pieces of breaded tofu on the parchment paper. And I baked it in a very hot oven. I had it all the way up to 450 degrees. It was for about 10 minutes, but everyone's oven is different, so just watch. You want to see that it starts getting golden brown. I pulled it out, turned each piece over, and put it in for another 5 minutes till it really got crispy. Then I drizzled the tamari on it, and I just baked it for a couple more minutes to dry out the tamari. But the tamari gives it that saltiness that one might have with bacon or something like that. So I toasted the two pieces of bread. And I put some mustard on the bread. Then I put the pieces of tofu down on top of the bread. Then I put the sauerkraut on top of the bread. And you want to drain the sauerkraut so you're not taking the water with it. And then I put the sautéed greens on top of that. And then I put avocado on top of that. And that was it. I cut each side in half, and I served it with a little side salad. And it's just great. You eat it open-faced. And, of course, if you wanted to close it up and have two pieces of bread, you can do that. But I ate it open-faced with a, just picking it up and eating it. And it was just so great. So I hope you all get a chance to make that. And, of course, let me know how you like it. And now it's my pleasure to introduce all of you to my guest this week, Amy Valpone. She's the founder of The Healthy Apple and the best-selling author of Eating Clean, the 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body. And Amy's a functional medicine, nutrition, and wellness expert, as well as a columnist, spokesperson, and motivational speaker. And she currently is working with different clients to help them balance their lives and find health using food as medicine. It's just really a pleasure to invite her on. Amy, are you with me?
Hi, how are you?
Good, how are you?
I'm good, and so honored to be here. Thanks for having me.
Sure, it's my pleasure. Your story is fascinating. Oh my God, I can't believe your story.
I know. Sometimes I read it and I'm like, excuse me, how did I survive all that?
I know. I just can't imagine being in my 20s and being hit with so much ill health and having no clue. What a frustrating thing to go to doctors and not get answers. So before we go on, can you just share a little bit of your story with my listeners?
Yeah, of course. So the full story is probably like 3 hours long, but I
right.
like to give all the different, very short. I'm going to try to sum it up really quickly. But there will obviously be some holes in the story, but my book and my website obviously fill all those in. But let's see. So when I was in my early 20s, I was here in Manhattan working, and all of a sudden my legs started swelling up with 40 pounds of fluid every day. And no one could figure out what was wrong. Doctors put me on steroids and painkillers and water pills and, a bunch of different drugs to try to, figure out what was going on. And they even sent me out to Mayo Clinic to get a bone marrow biopsy, because at one point they thought maybe I had leukemia because my blood work was absolutely a mess. My white blood cells were low, and my hemoglobin, my platelets, everything was completely tanked. And I was feeling fine. Nothing was really wrong. I'm a very high energy person. It was really just this water retention in my legs. And so I spent the next 6 years traveling all over the country to hundreds of doctors to try to figure out what was wrong with me. And no one could figure it out. And so I then embarked on something called functional and integrative medicine and started to dive deeper into the body to understand what was going on. And right before that, I was given 24 hours to live with C. diff colitis. And so Western medicine, as wonderful as they are and as amazing as they are saving lives, and when you have a broken arm and when you have a heart attack and all of that, they're not really, so wonderful when it comes to like chronic illness or these issues that really can't be found through an MRI or a CAT scan or something like that. And so this functional and integrative medicine that I'm talking about is what goes a little bit deeper, or I should say a lot deeper, into understanding, okay, what's the root cause here? You're on all these pharmaceutical pills to cover up the symptoms to keep you alive, but that's not healing your body. And all of those pills are going to end up affecting your liver, affecting the lining of your gut, affecting your adrenals, which pretty much focuses and works on everything in your body. And so they found through functional integrative medicine about 24 things that Western medicine did not find. The number one thing being Lyme disease. And so Western medicine lab tests do not pick up on Lyme disease. There's a ton of false negatives through like Quest and LabCorp and the blood work. And so I found two labs specifically that only test for Lyme, and they're in California. And it's very expensive to do, but you send your blood out there and they test it. And so Lyme disease was one thing they picked up on. Heavy metals. So I had every heavy metal you can imagine. I was off the charts. I had mold in my body, off the charts for mold. I had hypothyroidism. I had leaky gut. I had, chronic candida. I had small intestinal bacteria overgrowth. I had something called myositis. I mean, I could go on and on with all of these things. And so I will never forget there being in the doctor's office, like hysterically crying, looking at, you know, these results and being like, how many people are so sick and aren't getting the answers that they need? Not because there's anything wrong with Western medicine. They're doing a great job, but they're not taught how to go deeper. And so how can I heal myself by going deeper and then really transform my life and help all these people who are suffering that don't even know what's going on? And so that's what I did. And I ended up healing myself. So it took me about 13 years. So this started 13 years ago. And here I am in perfect health and feel incredible and about to start my next book. And so, again, that's a very, very short version of like a probably 3-hour story. But I'll tell you, I think there were many lessons I learned coming out of it. But I think the one thing is that you really cannot give up, because I think, you know, when you get diagnosed with something, say it's cancer, an autoimmune disease, or whatever it may be, you know, a lot of doctors are able to give you a treatment. But I think what's really tricky is that when doctors cannot figure out what's wrong with you, and so you start to feel like a crazy person, the doctors think you're crazy, and everyone around you thinks you're crazy because no one even knows what's wrong with you because there's not a word for it. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Those are the people that I really work with, because there's millions of them. I mean, there's millions of people that are suffering. So yeah, that's a short little blurb of the story.
Yeah, well, when you realize that doctors who go through medical school, who study, you know, 4 years of medical school and then internships and residencies, they get a few hours worth of nutritional teachings in their whole medical school education. Unless somebody does a specialty on their own and goes into this, they really don't know. They're, you know, they're kept in the dark, because that's not the engine that feeds the engine. You know, they're all about the medicine and the pharmaceuticals, and the pharmaceuticals and the doctors, they feed each other and they create a whole industry. That's a whole business. Mm-hmm. And, you know, sometimes, you know, just like when I was talking about the food at the beginning, of the show, they're not thinking outside of the box. They're just in this, you know, a part of this engine that just keeps going. And, it's
totally
just amazing. It's just amazing.
It is.
I actually saw on the front page of the New York Times today, there was a great article. Everyone should look at it. And I'm sure I'll write about it next week, about Chile, who they're really trying to fight the obesity epidemic that's happening there. And unlike many countries, they've actually enacted laws that, you know, puts 18%, you know, tax on sugary soda. And they've taken all marketing to children off the charts. Like, you're not allowed between 6 a.m. and 10 p.m. You're not allowed to market anything to children that is unhealthy. They've taken away Tony the Tiger and any animated character that's associated with any food. They're not allowed to have those on packages. No free gifts inside cereal boxes are allowed. They're really trying to deal with it, because 50% of the adult population in Chile is obese. And one out of every three children now at the age of 6 is already obese. So it's just, you know, the diet that is also part of this engine, you know, the unhealthy diet feeds the doctors and feeds the pharmaceutical. And it's like, it's big business to keep us sick. I hate to say it. I don't want to, you know, make it sound like, you know, doctors are really into keeping us sick, but they're not necessarily really into getting us better. Let's put it that way. So I think that's what you found out.
It's such a hard thing when you go through something like what I went through and what so many people go through. I think, you know, you have all this anger, right? Because, I mean, I spent $500,000 out of my pocket, you know, from my, like, money working and trying to just keep myself alive, because insurance doesn't cover any of the stuff that really heals you. And so, you know, I was brought up in a very healthy home, but my philosophy was, if you have a cold, if you have this, if you have that, you go to the doctor and you get a pill. And so I popped an Advil every time I had a knee pain. I popped my Lanta or a Tums every time I had a stomach ache. And so I sort of just lived off these things. Even though I was well, I didn't think there was anything wrong with it, because the advertisements make you think that that's what you're supposed to be doing. But when you fast forward and you do that ongoing for a decade or more, I mean, even one Advil a week, I mean, that's eating away at the lining of your gut, where almost 80% of your immune system lives, and it's affecting your liver. And every pharmaceutical drug is affecting the liver. And so, you know, one of the biggest things I work on with clients is focusing on their liver, because the toxicity these days in the liver, and I have to go into great detail in this my book, Eating Clean, is that we're bombarded by more toxins than ever before in our cleaning supplies, in our the plastics that surround our food, and the car exhaust. I mean, our tap water is a mess. And you realize your body is supposed to be detoxing on a daily basis. And, you know, Western medicine doctors will say, oh, we don't need to detox. That's what your organs are for. And I completely agree. That's why you have a liver. That's why you have lungs. That's why you have all these organs to help you detoxify. But, I mean, let's get real. It's 2018, and there's more toxins than ever before. So you now need to start supporting your body on a daily basis to detox from these toxins, because your body just cannot handle it. Like, our parents and our parents' parents weren't even bombarded by a quarter of this. Do you know what I mean?
Of course.
And that's a lot of the health issues form, because the body becomes toxic. The liver gets backed up. I mean, that's how PMS forms, right? No one is supposed to be getting PMS. PMS is something that was, like, created by, you know, these companies that want to sell you Advil and Midol and all this stuff. The only reason for PMS is because your liver is backed up. But all these women I work with, and me included, you know, doctors put you on synthetic hormones and birth control and all these things to regulate it, and that does nothing but take away the symptoms and then create more problems down the line. So it's sort of just this cycle of, it's really sad, you know?
It is. It really is. And yet it's so empowering. I mean, it's a great opportunity, and that's what I like to tell people, and I'm sure that's your MO as well, that it's a wonderful, mm-hmm. empowering opportunity to be able to take back your health and take control of it and know that you're responsible for it and that there's things you can do. You don't have to be sitting idly by and just waiting for the doctor to make you better, that there's actual things you can do. So your book really, you know, breaks a lot of that down. And as you also say in your book, and I really appreciate this, is that, you know, there's different diets for everybody. Everything's not the same for everyone, and people have to find their path within this, but you need to understand the framework of how it all works, right?
Completely. So, I mean, I just did a Facebook Live the other day and an Instagram story yesterday talking about, you know, raw cold food versus warm cooked foods. And so this is something that most people don't realize. And I ate salads and raw vegetables and cold smoothies and all this in my 20s, because that's what every magazine and doctor and people told me, you know, the media said to do. But after a while, I started studying Chinese medicine and went to these acupuncturists, and they were like, your spleen and your liver are a mess. You have to start eating warm cooked foods, and like cinnamon and curry powder and turmeric. And my hormones and my digestion shifted completely. So we're not supposed to be eating cold foods like ice, and, you know, it's really hard on our organs. And so, you know, every once in a while, yeah, but like wait till your smoothie gets to room temperature, or, you know, steam your vegetables a little bit, because it does have an impact, not just the food you're eating, but how you're preparing it. No?
Mm-hmm.
I mean, some people do great being raw vegan, and that's wonderful, but some people do great being paleo. I think, again, I'm not for anything or against anything. It's that I firmly believe we are all so different, and I think the main thing is you have to stop listening to what everyone else is telling you to eat and do, and listen to what your body is telling you. Like, if you have PMS, something's going wrong. If you're having diarrhea or constipation or bloating, something's wrong, right? Like, so you've got to switch something up and stop listening to what all these people are telling you to eat, or what people are saying is right and wrong, because it doesn't work like that.
Right, right. So, you know, a lot of your book is really about trying to get your body to a clean, detox place, so that you can then see what foods really do work with your body well and what foods don't. So can you explain to my listeners a little bit about your detox program?
Of course, of course. So I really just made a list of inflammatory foods to pull out of your diet for 21 days. Or I shouldn't say, I don't like to use the word diet, like I say lifestyle. You pull them out for 21 days and you lower the inflammation in your body and you see how you feel. You know, I'll give you an example of a handful of the foods. So gluten and dairy and soy and caffeine and alcohol are just a few, you know, examples. And so you pull these foods out and you stay off of them for 21 days. And my entire cookbook has over 200 recipes without any of these ingredients, including condiments like a mayonnaise and you know, different things like that. And so what that does is it helps pull the inflammation down in your body. And then very slowly, there's a very specific way of going about adding those food groups back in to see what is actually bothering you. So you do one at a time, and it's very specific, but you start to see, because, like, you know, you might take eggs out and then, you know, feel great and then start adding eggs back in after day 21, and you're like, oh, my God, I'm getting headaches. The headaches are every day are being caused by eggs. Or you might add soy back in and be like, oh, my God, I'm so bloated. And you don't even realize that since you reset your body, you're now introducing soy back into your life and causing these issues. But every day, because, I mean, soy is in, like, everything from, like, tea bags to, I mean, chewing gum. It's insane. And, you know, it does affect our hormones, and it does affect a lot of different things in women and men. And so you really have to be careful, you know, with what you're putting into your body. But this is the best way to really see, okay, what's going on? How is this food group really affecting my body? And really allowing you to start to listen to your body. You know, I think one of the biggest things, and this is a big part of my next book, is that we are so out of touch with our bodies. I mean, you know, we're all in our heads. We're busy. We're on our smartphones. We're on social media. You know, we're like, go, 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 go. No one's even trying to figure out why they have a headache or wondering why they're bloated. They just pop a pill. And I did the same thing in my 20s, right? Because we're too busy to try to figure it out. And doctors don't know. They just put us on a pill also.
Right.
And so,
right.
You know, it ends up being a spiral. It works now, but, like, in 10 years, you know, you're going to have serious problems with your liver and the lining of your gut. So it's not easy. It's definitely not easy. I'll admit that right now, but it can. That's why I try to make things as easy as possible for people. And on my website, thehealthyapple.com, I just try to make everything very simple, very basic for people, because, you know, it's really not about what can I cut out and how can I, like, diet or detox or whatever. Yes, detoxification is wonderful, but it's really more about, like, what can you put into your body to nourish it? Instead of fearing what food can do to you, it's like, let's think about what food can do for us. Because fearing food, as you know, the mind-body connection is so strong, is doing just as much damage as you just eating, like, a cheeseburger. Do you know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. And now I have a question for you. You know, and this has come up a lot when people talk about soy. There's a difference between a soybean and the processed soy that's hidden in foods. Is there not?
Yes.
Completely. I mean, like, so when you say avoid soy, it's different, you know, making chili, you know, and using soybeans in your chili than it is having soy isolate in something, or, you know, different processed ingredients that they put into things to change the texture, change the nutritional value, change it. Can you talk a little bit about that?
Of course, there's a complete difference. So, like, something like edamame is pure soy. And in the book, that's what you have to do. You cannot add soy back in through soy milk. Soy milk is highly processed, right? Highly inflammatory. So is soy cheese. You want to add in the one ingredient whole food of soy. So you would add in soybeans. So, yes, like, a soybean is completely different from eating, like, a soy cheese. However,
right.
You know, we are all very different. Some people are allergic to soy, but some people just, you know, especially for women, for me, and this is what I've realized, and again, this is not something you're going to read online, it really depends on how your body detoxifies estrogen and how the estrogen makeup in your body is. Because for me, soy increases my estrogen, which puts on weight. And so when your estrogen is higher than your progesterone, you will put on weight. And you can eat 100 calories a day and work out every day, and you're not losing weight. And so that's where the problem comes in. And this is something that no one really, you know, is addressing. And so that was a huge issue for me, because, you know, I was eating a lot of different soy, and I didn't realize that soy was feeding my estrogen. Now, everyone's estrogen is, you know, makeup is completely different. Everyone's liver detoxifies their estrogen completely different. You know, we're all so, so different. But if you're seeing, like, an increase in PMS, or if you have PMS and you're eating soy, you know, it can't hurt to take it out. Or if you have acne or digestive problems, you know, your hormones pretty much run everything in your body. So especially weight. So I would say for any of those people, you know, start to be mindful of where there's soy in your life that could be causing inflammation. Now, that could happen to, like, Sally Sue, but, like, Joe Schmo, on the other hand, his body's totally different. Gluten could be doing that to him. Gluten could be putting on the weight for him, you know, and gluten could be, you know, causing inflammation in his body, which is exactly why we're all so different, you know.
Right.
And
right.
that's really,
and, you know,
yeah, exactly.
The whole issue with gluten, and I've talked about this a lot as well, is the way that they're processing the wheat nowadays. I was at a conference in Italy where they talked about how most wheat was coming out of Sicily and south of Rome, that they, you know, wheat really couldn't be grown north of Rome. And now, fast forward, you know, in 2018, you know, most of the wheat is coming out of Canada and northern states. And, you know, people in Italy were like, how's this happening? And they found out through investigation that they were spraying all the wheat with Roundup to dry it fast. And that's how they process it so that the northern climates can grow wheat now. And and so now you have to step back and really look at it and say, you know, are all these people really having allergies to wheat, or are they having reactions to the Roundup that's on the wheat, you know?
Exactly.
But I'm sure some people still have reactions to gluten, but it's just, you know, everything's so contaminated, it's hard to really know what the actual problem is.
And that's what, you know, that's what's honestly so frustrating, because to find a food in its whole form anymore, it's really difficult. I mean, for a lot of people, you know, I mean, if you're in a big city or you have food markets or, you know, health food stores, great. But, you know, a lot of people don't have that. And all they have access to is a lot of these processed inflamed foods. And so, you know, it sort of creates this really hard, you know, practice of eating clean and eating whole foods. And I mean, that's really my whole philosophy. It's like, eat what works for you, but try to eat it in its most simplest form. I mean, in my book, I talk about, you know, I have my whole, you know, outline of my philosophy and all of this. And I say, you know, eat one ingredient whole foods. Like, what's in an apple? An apple. What's in broccoli? Broccoli. You know, what's in an avocado?
Right.
An avocado. And you can base your entire day, all your meals, all your snacks, your desserts around one ingredient whole foods. Will it take you a little bit more time? Probably. And will it cost you a little bit more money? Maybe. But you'll end up spending that money in medical bills, and I'm living proof of that, down the line in 20, 30 years, you know. And so, or even your way of life and well-being, because, you know, you may be put on a pharmaceutical pill that doesn't make you feel like yourself, you know. So I think it really just goes down to, like, I think a lot of it is sitting with yourself and getting quiet and really just being like, what do I want for myself, and where do I see myself going? How do I want to feel in 20 years? How do I want to look in 20 years? You know what I mean? And it's not about vanity or how thin you are or what you're fitting into, but it's more about, like, how you feel and how well you're really nourishing your body. It's not about juice fasts or calorie counting. You know, I mean, 100-calorie pack of Oreos is probably one of the most highly inflammatory foods possible.
Right.
But an avocado is a lot more than 100 calories and a lot more fat, but it's highly anti-inflammatory. So you cannot look at calories, and you can't count calories or fat or any of that. That's not working, you know? And a lot of the women that come to me who are having weight issues, it has nothing to do with calories. It has to do with their hormones. And they're not getting the right hormonal tests from their doctors, because Western medicine really doesn't test hormones correctly in blood
tests.
And so you start to realize that, I hate to use the word, like, brainwash, but we've sort of all, like, been, like, brainwashed as kids. Like, you go to a doctor, they tell you what to do, you get put on this pill. You know, you take an Advil when you have a pain in your ankle or your knee or your muscles, or you take a Tylenol when you have this going on, or you take a Tums or Mylanta or Pepto-Bismol when you have this going on. But, and people just live on that. I have a client in Florida who just lives on Pepto-Bismol. I'm like, that's not normal. There's something that's not working, and it's that something that's not working is actually going to cause something even bigger in about 5-10 years.
Right.
You know, so, but I think, you know, I love emails and our smartphones, and technology is wonderful, but I really think it's affecting a lot of people with the mind-body connection, and it's taking you away from yourself, and it's stressing us out, and we're no longer in touch with what's really going on in our bodies. And it's sad. And so, I mean, one of the biggest steps that I had to do is start to say no to, like, everything. Say no to, like, my girlfriends when they wanted to go out, to dates, to, you know, my parents, to my family, to different things, and really start to put myself first. But a lot of us are not taught to put ourselves first. We're taught that's selfish. But mm-hmm. you're really not. I mean, if you want to be healthy and heal your body, you're not going to get better by bending over backwards for everyone else. And
right.
I hate to say that. You know, as a kid, I would have been called selfish. But I'll tell you, if anybody's going through a health issue and they want to know how to heal beyond food, it's to start giving yourself time alone and time to really listen to your body. You know, it's mm-hmm. not easy because we're all so trained to just go, go, go. And I'm
right.
like high energy type A personality, so I totally get it. But it's needed. It's not just about food. You can eat the perfect diet, and there's still more you've got to dig into.
Right. I want to also talk about inflammation, but yeah. I'd like to take a couple-minute break. And when we come back, I'd like to talk about inflammation because I think that's, you know, it's coming out that that's really at the root of so many diseases and problems in our bodies, and people don't think of that so much, you know, in regards to the gut and what people need to do to clean that up. So everyone, don't go anywhere. I'm talking with Amy Valpone, and we'll be right back.
You're tuned to PRN. We'll keep bringing you the best and alternative voices for social and political news, the environment, health, the economy, and a whole lot more. All you have to do is keep listening. PRN, the Progressive Radio Network.
Hi, this is Mike Fader. I'm here live on PRN every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern. My show, The Turning Point, is a blend of autobiographical storytelling, political and cultural commentary, and lively, intelligent interviews. I hear you asking, Mike, how can I stay sane in the age of Trump? No problem. Just listen to my show. It's all natural, gluten-free, and just plain good radio. That's Mike Fader with The Turning Point every Friday morning at 10 a.m. Eastern, right here on PRN.FM.
I wish I could say all the things that I should say. Say them loud, say them clear. Father.
You're listening to PRN, number one for progressive minds.
Yeah, I'm not known as a gadget guy, but I love gadgets that really do the trick, like the new app. The Progressive Radio Network has an app, thanks to our friends at Audio Now. Hey, this is Mark Farrell, host of Insight on Thursdays at 11 a.m. Eastern Standard Time, where we broadcast live out of New York City. But if you can't catch the show live, no frets. It's always archived. It's always on the app. Download it now, listen later, whenever you want. The Progressive Radio Network app is available from our friends at Audio Now. Check it out.
Stay tuned to PRN.FM for more empowering ideas from progressive voices. We're moving forward, and we hope you're coming with us.
I'm Eric Davis, and I want to invite you to join me for Expanding Mind, a show that features conversations about the cultures of consciousness, magic, meditation, neuroscience, religion, technology, psychedelics, weird media. Expanding Mind is devoted to changing your perspective without insulting your intelligence. Tune into the Progressive Radio Network every Thursday at 2 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. And check out the archive page for Expanding Mind on PRN.FM. And remember, keep your minds open.
Yeah.
Hello, everybody, and welcome back. You're listening to Bhavani and I.E. Green on the Progressive Radio Network. And my guest is Amy Valpone. We're talking about her best-selling book, Eating Clean, the 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body. Amy, you with me?
Hi.
Hi. So right before the break, I touched on inflammation. Can you explain to people what we mean when we talk about inflammation in the body and why that is so detrimental to our health?
Of course, definitely. So, you know, inflammation, we all need a certain amount of inflammation in our bodies, because when you get a cut on your finger and the cut bleeds and then the scab forms, you know, that's good inflammation. So we need a certain amount of inflammation in our bodies. The problem is that when inflammation gets out of whack, because our immune system gets out of whack between, you know, the toxins in our environment, the stress we're facing at work, the processed foods we're eating or highly inflammatory foods that we eat, such as, you know, table salt and canola oil that, you know, every restaurant serves. And so a lot of these things are affecting, you know, they affect your overall body and they throw your system out of whack. You're not sleeping enough, you're not drinking enough water, you're, you know, being bombarded by too many toxins in your life, which we all are. And so that's how things get out of whack, and that's how systemic inflammation forms. And then that runs rampant in your body. And it's, you know, really interesting to fight inflammation, because there are so many different forms of inflammation. It could be like swelling in your knee, or it could be bloating, or it could be PMS, or it could be weight gain. Could be headaches, could be insomnia. I mean, it, you know, it's not something that you're going to Google and find, you know, every different, you know, symptom for. And there are tons of ways to fight inflammation. You know, number one is through eating clean, whole, organic foods, which I go into great detail about in my book and through my recipes. That's probably one of the best ways to fight inflammation. And then there's a lot of, you know, anti-inflammatory foods in general, like leafy greens, turmeric, you know, different things that can really help your body detoxify on a natural basis, and to help calm down that systemic inflammation.
Mm-hmm. And so how does one start to detox? You're talking about elimination, would you say?
Exactly. Yeah, so what we talked about earlier, like cutting out those foods, really helping your body detoxify. That's how you can do it through your food. But again, you know, you really want to support your entire body through detoxification. So on my website, and I did also do Facebook Lives and talk about detoxification in great detail. About the last one I did last month, I went into great detail about how to detoxify your liver. Things like castor oil packs are wonderful. If you go onto my website, thehealthyapple.com, and type in castor oil, you'll figure out, you know, the steps on how to do that. An Epsom salt bath, I go into great detail about that in my book, as well as my website. Your skin is your biggest organ. So just sitting in an Epsom salt bath in hot water for 30 minutes is a great way to detoxify the body. And you want to make sure you're drinking liquids when you're in the bath, because you will be detoxifying. So, you know, two or three glasses of purified water will be, you know, easy and help your body replenish. But that's an easy way to detoxify. Infrared saunas, which heat your body from the inside out, unlike a regular sauna, like in a gym or a spa, which heats you from the outside in. They help with like Lyme disease and toxins and help pull things out of your body. So those are really wonderful. And again, I have a link to the sauna that I use in my home and talked about that in my book and on my website, thehealthyapple.com. And then there's a bunch of, you know, there's a bunch of other things. It really comes down to, you know, what's going on in your body and where the inflammation is. And then really trying to figure out, okay, how can we support the body to release these toxins naturally? That's really what it comes down to. But I mean, eating organic is probably one of the easiest ways to detoxify, because you're no longer putting in toxins in the form of pesticides and herbicides and growth hormones and antibiotics into your body, which all have to go throughout your entire body and through your liver. You know, so the main goal is, what I think I really would love everyone to like take away, is that think about when you wake up every morning, you want to help your body as much as possible. So you want to lessen the body burden on your body as much as possible. So what can you do to like decrease the amount of toxins that you come into contact with through your cleaning supplies and, you know, the detergents you wash your clothes in, like Tide and all these things full of tons of chemicals that, we wear on our body and on our skin, the detergent that you use to wash your dishes on, the detergents that you're using to wash your sheets that you sleep on, you know, for 8 hours a night. So little things like this, your makeup, your deodorant, you know, the chemicals in your shampoo and conditioner. And
right, and sunscreen. I always, you know, this time of year I'm not focusing on sunscreen so much, but as the weather gets warmer and I see all these parents pouring sunscreen all over their children because they're afraid of sun exposure, hey, a little sun exposure is way better than putting that stuff on your kid's skin. I mean, some sun exposure is fine, you know, but if you do need some sunscreen, you know, there's definitely better ones than others. And I always share, you know, the link to the environmental,
Environmental Working Group
website. They have a great list.
Yeah, and I go into great detail about that in my book, too. I give a whole chart of, like, the chemicals to look at on your cleaning products and beauty products and things to avoid and to use and all of that. I go into all of beauty, all of cleaning supplies, all of the and I give people a list of brands that I really love. So, yeah, that's just as equally as important as what you're putting into your body, like via food.
I know you mentioned that, you know, people are going to have to start saying no, like if they want to really try to do the detox thing, like you can't go out to eat with your girlfriends and you can't go over to your parents' house for dinner. At what point does that change, and can you start going, like now that you've been doing this for a while, are you able to go to restaurants and get the things that you need to support your body and at the same time be able to be social with your friends and community?
Oh, definitely. I mean, you can just, I mean, you go to any restaurant, you can call ahead, and I have tips on this in my book as well and what to do and how to handle it for holidays and dinner parties and eating out and traveling. I have a bunch of tips about all of that because it can get, you know, overwhelming. But definitely, I mean, I went out to dinner last night. I just got like a bunch of side dishes, you know, sauteed in olive oil with some lemon juice. You know what I mean? And that was like perfect for me. So you can make, you know, whatever you need to make yourself when you walk into a restaurant. You don't have to order right off their menu. You know, if you're a vegetarian, you can have a bunch of side dishes that are vegetables and ask for some olive oil and salt. If you eat eggs, you can ask for some eggs on the side, or hard-boiled eggs. If you would rather something like chicken or grass-fed beef, you know, you can just ask for that without the marinades and all of that kind of stuff.
Right. And also with the apps like Yelp and stuff, you can actually search organic restaurants and, you know, try to choose restaurants and support restaurants and farmers that are doing it the right way so that you're supporting them and at the same time you're supporting your health while you go out.
Yes, exactly.
While you're on this journey, can you share with us something that you found out that really shocked you?
Oh gosh, what didn't shock me?
You're right.
I think a big part of this next book is just like, you know, it's probably terrible to say, but sometimes you just feel like you're fed a bunch of lies growing up, and then you hit rock bottom and you start to uncover all the junk that you've been told that really is not true, that the rest of the world is believing and is not well. Do you know what I mean? And it's actually really hard. I found coming out of this was one of the hardest things. I mean, my girlfriends were having babies and, you know, my friends were doing all these things. And it's just, you can't really just run around and tell everybody, you know, what's going on because they think you're crazy, but you sort of have to just, you know, tell people, like educate them a little bit, but, you know, I really just, if people ask me for advice, I tell them, but I'm not going to run around and tell people, oh my God, you can't do that or you can't use that. But the number one thing I think, and this is a big part of my work moving forward, is hormones. You cannot treat a hormone with a hormone. You know, my doctor overdosed me on progesterone cream 3 years ago. I gained 70 pounds in 5 days and my whole endocrine system shut down. And that was after my 10 years of chronic illness. So, you know, that's really what my next book is about, because no doctor could no longer help me. No supplement could no longer help me. And I had to move into more energy work and the mind body to really heal myself. And so, you know, I would have never believed any of this until I hit that really low, low point. But you cannot fix a hormone with a hormone. You, like, whether it's birth control or a synthetic hormone or whatever it may be, you have to work on the liver. And you know, and the gut. And that in turn will support the hormones, because it's just the fact that your liver is backed up with estrogen or all these other toxins, and it needs to be cleared out. And then, you know, I mean, I have no PMS. I mean, I'm a 35-year-old healthy woman with a zero PMS. It's like unbelievable, you know? And so you can imagine, you know, how hard it was when I was overdosed on the progesterone cream. I mean, I went through 3 years of almost like a PTSD experience, because you're going through like a menopause / postpartum depression without having a baby, because your hormones are so crazy and you're full of all these synthetic hormones. And so the PMS was something I've never experienced. It was, you know, suicidal thoughts and the anxiety, and it was just the insomnia, the night sweats and day sweats, and the weight I put on and the cravings. It was terrible. But I mean, if I can get through that and then end up with zero PMS, the average person who hasn't even been overdosed on a synthetic hormone can completely do it. And that's really what I hope I help a lot of women with, because the answer is not Midol and Tylenol. That's going to affect your liver even more, which is going to back up your estrogen and hormones even more and affect the lining of your gut. But again, these are things that, you know, as Western doctors, they just, you know, they're not well versed in, because they're not taught it. It's not their fault. But you really need someone that can look deeper into your body and really help get to the root cause, which is mm-hmm. what I do. I mean, one of the biggest things I do is work with clients and look at their blood work and look at all their tests and look at everything and say, okay, here's who you need to go and see. Here's what you need to do. Here's the plan, you know, all of that, because there's just so many people you can go and see. But I feel like you really need to know the right people to go to.
Mm-hmm. Because you can just and are you all around and self-taught like a gerbil. Are you self-taught just from going through your own journey, or did you actually decide then to go back to school and do any type of official training? Although I think so much is more personal.
Yeah, integrative nutrition. And I'm actually thinking about even going back again for like psychology or something about the mind-body, because I'm realizing the mind-body is such a huge, huge piece of the whole overall body and health issues and all of that. So that's definitely on my mind to even go deeper. But yeah, and also, I mean, on top of that, working with, you know, the best functional integrative medicine doctors who are in like their 80s and they've been around for years, and I worked with them and learned from all of them, and that's really right. How I learned. And I mean, they're not even practicing anymore. So yeah,
well, we're just about, Amy, we're just about out of time. We're just about out of time. So before we run out of time, I do want you to just share with everybody your website one last time and the name of your book so they can get it. And, of course, I'll post it on my website as well, everyone.
Of course. So the website is thehealthyapple.com. And on social media, it's at thehealthyapple on all social media channels, Facebook, Instagram, Pinterest, all of that. And then my book is called Eating Clean, the 21-Day Plan to Detox, Fight Inflammation, and Reset Your Body. And it's available on Amazon, Barnes & Noble, Costco, all of that. So, yeah.
That's
Thanks
wonderful.
Thanks for having me. It was lovely to connect with you.
It's been wonderful. Thank you, everyone. And thank you, everyone, for listening and joining us. Amy, it's been a pleasure. And I'll be with all of you again next week. Have a great rest of the week. And I'll see you next week. Bye for now.